Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation, taped at the Delaware Public Media Studios on the campus of Delaware State University, focuses on the race for U.S. Senate. And we are joined by Democrat Kerry Harris. Kerry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me today, Tom.
So we start off by asking the basic question, why did you decide to run for Senate?
You know, it wasn't really something on my radar, but I work in the community, both in the state and nationally, working on issues that really matter to people: health care, immigration reform, tax reform, criminal justice reform. And I was realizing legislation just wasn't working for all of us. We have people who are in office who hear our stories but forget them when it comes time to write legislation or co-sponsor legislation. And I was tired of the working class people of Delaware being forgotten. I know the struggles firsthand, and I know we deserve a voice that understands and fights for us.
What should voters know about your qualifications for the job? Perhaps something that they don't already know from the coverage they've seen.
I have a diverse background. I am a veteran. I've been a blue-collar worker. I currently am full-time organizer and community advocate. As a veteran, I know firsthand what it is like to serve in the military, how budgets work to actually help the troops, and how they don't work to help the troops. I also know the consequences of legislators not doing due diligence when they vote to send us to war, and it's something that will impact my decision-making as the senator from Delaware. Also, as a blue-collar worker, I see how corporations time after time tell us we're making record profits for them, and yet we're struggling to make ends meet, and that's something that has to change. We have to make sure the workers are thriving, and then the corporations will thrive. We're realizing now legislation that's been written in the reverse, saying when corporations do well, you'll do well, is a myth, and we have to reverse that equation. And then going further, as a community advocate and organizer, I realize all of our struggles are connected. And so it doesn't matter if I'm in a community that has a lot of government-funded housing or if I'm in an upper-middle-class neighborhood. People are concerned about the same things: health care. Will they and their families be cared for? Education. Will their children get a sound education that prepares them for the future? And when they go into college, can they get out without a burden of debt that makes it so that a future seems bleak? And we also have to make sure that people that work get paid a dignified wage, and we stop having people fight amongst themselves saying somebody flipping burgers doesn't deserve $15 an hour when a paramedic only gets that much. We're having the wrong conversation. Why are people that have skilled labor abilities not getting paid a better wage? And so we need to keep pushing forward. We have to protect our environment. We have to create a balanced justice system. The list goes on and on and on. But unfortunately, I have an opponent who's had time to serve our country, our state, and he's done it well, but not well enough, and we've been forgotten, and it's time for change and new ideas to move us forward as a state.
Let's jump into some of the issues. First off, more than a few pundits and analysts are framing this midterm election as a referendum on President Trump.
Yes.
Do you agree? Why or why not?
I think that President Trump is something that we have to consider, but we can't be monofocused. We have to realize that there's more of an issue here. People in Delaware and throughout the United States are tired of being divided. They're tired of fear. They want solutions. How are we going to move forward together? I've run on a message of solutions, fixing healthcare, fixing education, fixing our environment, and it unites people, and they're excited. But we also have to hold President Trump accountable. He is putting us in a situation where we are losing our civil and basic rights. We are also in a situation where he is making us less safe within our borders and overseas with the policies that he chooses to promote. And oftentimes, he leads without thought. The use of Twitter makes him feel as though he is more in touch with people, but it also makes it so that he reacts so quickly that he puts himself and the entire United States in harm's way, because he puts himself in he digs a hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And instead of saying, I made a mistake, he continues to dig, and we all have to figure a way out of it.
The Mueller investigation and questions about Russian interference since the 2016 election and elections going forward have kind of hovered over this midterm as well. To what degree are you concerned about this type of interference in this election cycle? And if elected, what would you support doing to secure future elections?
Absolutely. It is a big fear of mine and most people in the United States. What does it mean to destabilize our democracy with outside powers? I definitely think that the most recent occurrences when we're seeing people from his administration, his campaign team coming forward, admitting fault, pleading guilty or being found guilty, and by implication showing that he, our president, has participated in the destabilization of our democracy is something we need to all be very alarmed about. And we have to consider that when we do a number of things. One, he is trying to appoint the next Supreme Court justice. The Supreme Court will oversee these proceedings. How does that interfere with our justice system? We already know that he's willing to take stances that threaten our democracy, and we have to hold him accountable. I would, one, make sure that we do not allow another Supreme Court justice to sit on the bench so long as he is under investigation. Number two, I will make sure that we put together laws and protections that make sure that we're constantly staying vigilant of what is happening with FEC laws. Senator Warren put together a piece of legislation that she announced yesterday that will deal with corruption and campaign finance. I think that's huge. I have pledged not to take corporate money, but it goes beyond corporate money. Corporations come from different countries, and so we have to be very aware of how that can color our legislation and color our safety. And so those are things that I will make sure I am vigilant about and push forward with.
A Pew Research Center poll earlier this summer found immigration to be the top concern among voters heading into the midterms. This issue touches on a number of topics, from the status of the DACA program, separation of families at the border, to the funding of President Trump's border wall, which the president has threatened the government shutdown over. If elected, what approach toward immigration would you seek to pursue in Congress?
So, a number of things. I want a permanent DREAM Act. Our DREAMers here in this state have been amazing. I've worked with them. They are the very best that our country has to offer in many ways. They are pursuing, here the students at Del State are pursuing degrees in criminal justice and healthcare and business and political science. They're ready to make our nation stronger. They have clean records, because in order to be a DACA recipient, you cannot have any criminal background. They are paying the fees that allow them to stay DACA students. And so they're doing nothing more than contributing to the country that they already consider to be their own. So we have to make sure that they get to stay here. Going further, we have to be very aware of things such as not wasting money on a symbolic wall. I know that people will say that it will make us safer, but it won't. The truth is, the best form of safety, and I'm saying this as a veteran, is to make sure we increase our digital surveillance. It'll make sure our Border Patrol is safer. They can see what they're approaching, make a plan, and execute, as opposed to having the idea that a wall that is a certain mileage is insurmountable. We know if you want to breach a wall, you can breach a wall, and we've seen it. And in addition, it upsets me that President Trump would risk a government shutdown. I think that as a veteran, I depend on my VA disability payments, mm-hmm. right? It's one of the things that allows me to pay my bills and allows me to serve the community. When you shut down the government, people say that that veterans aren't affected. And I can tell you, in years past with government shutdowns, I've been affected. It holds my money that I depend on. And when government reopens, I get it back then. But I can't wait. I have bills now. And so don't gamble with my future over a wall that is wholly symbolic. Also, please don't perpetuate policies that are racist and xenophobic and put us in more harm's way, both domestically and overseas, because people can spread terrorist ideologies with the idea that America is not an open place. And that's definitely, in my opinion, everything that is contrary to America. Everything that we've been building to be is inclusive, enjoying the diversity that makes us one of the greatest countries in the world, because we have ideas that come from around the world. And so, and especially when we're turning our backs on treaties, human rights violations are happening. People are seeking refuge within our borders because of chaos in their countries, whether it's because of natural disasters or domestic conflicts. Our job, just like the job of any other country, is to open our doors, our borders, to people that need that. And so I cannot sit and hear the cries of a child being separated from their mother or father and say that that's making us safer. I cannot justify building tent cities that are costing us millions and millions of dollars when we need infrastructure spending for our schools and our roads and to build an economy that is sound for Americans. And we are painting this picture of immigrants who are destroying our country when we know statistically, when we look at it, we are built up every time a new immigrant family comes into our country, and we have to embrace that and not keep turning to fear to pull our eyes away from what is happening in our government that we really need to pay attention to. And it's a big concern for me.
Healthcare is also high up on the list of voter concerns. Arguments in a Texas case that could strike down the Affordable Care Act as unconstitutional will be heard this fall. If that suit succeeds, though, it also eliminate very popular pieces of ACA, like protections for people with pre-existing conditions. With that possibility as a backdrop, what do you see as the appropriate path forward when it comes to addressing health care in this country?
Yes, so I've fought diligently to save the ACA. When we won that fight, President Trump with his tax bill undermined the ACA, and so now it is a very, very weak bill. I am not saying it was perfect, but it was a roadmap to the next step. And now we are seeing destabilization within our insurance companies, and we have to make sure we restabilize. Regardless, again, of community that I go to, people are very concerned. They're concerned about what healthcare looks like. They are tired of being basically slaves to their corporation because they're afraid if they move, then they lose coverage for 60 to 90 days. They have families to tend to. Businesses should not be in the business of healthcare. I truly believe that we need to stabilize our economy and the health of our citizens by creating a Medicare for All system that is not just accessible, but is free. Access is a relative term. And in any given day, one person can afford $12, another person can afford zero, another person can afford $60. You never know. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that it's universal across the board because we are humans and we deserve it. And we are the richest country in this world and we can make it happen. There's questions about cost. All analysis show that overall there'll be a drop in costs, but there are pundits that will say, well, it's going to cost us more in the beginning. The question to me is, what is the value of your life, your child's life, your spouse's life? Our government has decided that we have a top value and they will not consider anything above that. But we are willing to put obscene amounts of money into our military establishment that don't help the troops. It builds corporations. We are willing to give tax cuts to those that don't need it. We are willing to make sure that large corporations outpace small businesses because tax codes make it so that they can advance while small businesses are struggling to make ends meet. We have to change fundamentally what we prioritize, and it has to be people, and it starts with health care.
I also want to hit on trade and specifically President Trump's use of tariffs, which we have seen having a negative impact on farmers, soybean, corn here in Delaware. What is your assessment of this use of tariffs, both economically and in terms of foreign policy?
Right. So, again, we have a president who thrives off of strokes of to his ego and will stroke his own ego if others don't. And he'll do that by using his power at will. And in the meantime, we suffer. Our farmers here in the state of Delaware have suffered under these tariffs. We also have other businesses such as Citizenry who develop solar panels. This is an issue, and we cannot have a president that does not have a full strategy to how he wants to implement tariffs. There is a place for tariffs. There is a place for trade agreements. There is a place for sanctions. But if you do it without a plan, without advice from people who understand economics and how to advance not just allies, alliances, but also to hold those who threaten our economy and our well-being accountable, then you are doing nothing but damage. And we have to rein in the president's power to make sure that he cannot push us further into despair.
In many of your previous answers, it's kind of touched on the economy. When I ask more specifically, in general terms, how do you rate the health of the U.S. economy? And if elected, what would be your priorities to make it stronger?
Yeah, so we're constantly hearing from the administration and then half of our Congress that we're doing really well. The problem is there's very small percentage of us that are doing really well. Corporations, CEOs, the 1%, they're doing really well. We're seeing a boom. But the problem we've seen historically, there's a bust after every boom. So they'll tout a stock market that's on the rise, but we're failing to realize that that's because of stock buybacks that have been implemented as a result of the tax reform bill that we were told would trickle down to the rest of us. It's a we're told about record unemployment rates, but we're forgetting that unemployment doesn't consider the fact that people are working multiple part-time jobs, aren't feeling that they are able to participate with their families, still unable to make ends meet. And so when you ask about the health of our economy, you have to look at the full picture. And for some reason, our government fails to see those who are in most need. And that's the working class of Delaware, the working class of America. And we need to change that.
Finally, is there an issue you feel isn't getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle?
Absolutely. The biggest issue for me, outside of the ones that I said, healthcare, education, criminal justice reform, environmental justice, is the fact that the electorate has been lied to on every level. We are not, our legislators paint a beautiful picture of their accomplishments and what they've done, but people are not paying attention to what has not been said or done. The votes that actually work against our best interests. And so it is very important to me throughout this campaign trail to educate people, not just on national issues, but on statewide issues. We have to pay attention to what our legislators are doing. It affects us at every level of our lives, and we need to hold them accountable. And the only way we can do that is to not just listen to what they want us to hear, but dig deeper and understand that every vote that they make affects us, and every lack of a vote, or the times that they are avoiding writing legislation or speaking on an issue that affects us, they are taking our lives literally in their hands, and we cannot allow that to happen.
All right. Carrie Harris, Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You can find all of our candidate conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. This candidate conversation was taped at the Delaware Public Media Studios on the campus of Delaware State University and is part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. Thanks for listening.